Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Welcome. We are glad that you're here. Look around the room. Doesn't this look great? Huh? Wow. I'm going to have an opportunity later to say some thank you to some special people who have been working very hard to make this possible. For those of you that might, I just wanted to help you a little bit this morning. You might be a little uncomfortable. What? We're sitting around tables. It's church in the sanctuary. Wait. Well, I read in the Bible we're invited to a banquet. And for those of you that thought that heaven was filled with pews, it's a banqueting hall, and it's going to be a seven-year festivity of celebration of the marriage supper of the Lamb, depending on how you read your eschatology. But nevertheless, we are invited to a banquet, and everyone, here's the great news, everyone in the whole world has been invited to the, he's got a big enough house. And he's got plenty of food, and it's top-notch and top-quality, and we have great, great news that we have to share that everybody is invited to come to Father's house and never have to leave. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome, and that's what it's about this morning. A number of years ago, I was completely all coal black hair. Freshly married, and Tasha was truly, truly blonde. The beauty of the hair change is it's real easy to disguise it amongst the blonde. What can I say? I'll face the music later. That's all right. That's all right. And we sat there on the pew at First Assembly in San Angelo, Texas, under the ministry of J.J. Stone. And a fellow would come every once in a while to talk about missions. And I was always absolutely enraptured every time he came. And great accent, just built by God to do media and to do speaking. And so he spoke about time and how there's a kairos moment and chronos. See? Kairos and chronos. He and Ragna came several times there to that church in San Angelo, Texas. Many would consider out of the way. But they were there. And that just really helped to take that heart of missions in us to a whole new level. If you can remember the kairos and the chronos, there was impact. And so I'm thankful for impactful ministry. So as we began thinking, let's have a missions convention and let's go into 2019 and prepare our hearts for faith promises and do what we've never done before. And we have missionaries around our tables with us today that we already support. There's missionaries at our table that we do not yet support. And we have opportunity to look into what Lord's done. We've been through some narrow places and some difficulties, but now the Lord's brought us out of that, and we have somewhere we need to go, right? We have an onward and an upward that we need to do. And there's some of us that are here that really can hear just in the next 35 to 40 minutes really a comprehensive thing that'll just light your fire. And if after this service it doesn't light your fire for missions, you come, we'll pray that your wood get dried out. And then we'll keep sparking and throwing gasoline on that, okay? And our mission begins at Jerusalem right here at our doorstep, and it encompasses what we do in outreach every 90 days to reach our community, what we're doing to go help and serve some people in the community center, and all the way around, the furthest we can reach from this point is around 11,000 miles, and then you start coming back. And we want to raise up some missions teams out of this church. We want to see youth enraptured with missions. We want to see mission trips, all that kind of stuff. And so this is not a hidden agenda. This is a preparation of our hearts to go into the future that the Lord has for us. And so this morning, we're going to get to hear a stirring message towards missions and some things that we can still be a part of. And through the miracles of technology, how we can leverage money and talent to impact millions. What a gift God has given us. Amen? Amen? This is a great time to be alive and to represent the kingdom of God. And so I just want to welcome here for you to hear and to be touched as much as I've been touched in the past by Dr. Christopher Gornald Smith. Would you welcome him this morning?
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. As we get into the message in a few moments, you'll see that the lights will be dimmed because what is going to appear on the screen is far more important than seeing my face up here. And I'd like to thank Matt in advance for playing tag with me on the slides back there. And if everything works right, we will remain in sync. So thanks in advance to him. You know, I was saying to Matt yesterday, if the technicians do everything right, everybody walks out, say, great service, and don't think about it. If something goes wrong, beyond their control, all the heads turn on swivels, and he gets the blame. So I think he deserves the credit to start with. As a person who works a great deal in media, reaching around the world, I appreciate technicians. I sometimes tell them, I'm the guy who jumps from the plane, but you pack the parachute, so watch it. I've enjoyed so much fellowship with Pastor Doug. We meet from time to time in IHOP, and it's not a half hour. It usually turns into 2.5 hours in the Word, church strategy, eschatology, you name it, we're into it, and we have just great times, and I enjoy that so much. So thank you for the opportunity to share God's Word. And to see old friends, our missionary colleagues of, in some cases, of 30 years, working together in the Lord's harvest, who are here this morning. And friends, including students when I was missionary in residence at SAGU for my old class that I taught, and other friends meeting again, and some for the first time. So thank you very much. And I want to say thank you on behalf of all the missionaries you support for the work you do faithfully. They are the boots on the ground. They are the key to success. Not special projects. Special projects are important, but it's the boots on the ground that can make it happen, and those are the missionaries that you support every week, and thank you. Generosity comes from the heart of God. And when you support missions, especially when it's that extra sacrificial bit, that is from the heart of God beating right through you. You may not think of it that way, but it is. Today I want to do two things. I want to share some biblical truths about what we call the Great Commission, that from the beginning of the Assemblies of God have been at the heart of our spiritual life. And secondly, I want to share with you an amazing and unexpected opportunity, quite unlike anything you have heard about, and that I can guarantee. The words I want to share with you to start with are the words of Jesus himself in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. So, Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All of us know that when we want to say something that's important, it's not only choosing the right words, but choosing the right moment to say them. You have something to say, but you hold it back and you wait. And you wait for the right moment. These words were spoken by Jesus at a very significant moment for him, right after his resurrection. Not long previously, Jesus had been crucified. On the cross, he paid the price for our sins. He showed us how far the love of God would go to help us, redeem us, and save us from ourselves. Look at it like this. There am I. I'm alienated from God. And there on me is the weight I carry of guilt and alienation. And Jesus on the cross comes, and he takes that weight. And I am gloriously freed. The Roman soldiers nailed him to the cross. The pain he suffered was terrible, horrific, dreadful. When they nailed him there, he was a living, suffering human being. What they took down from the cross was not a human being. It was a corpse, a cadaver, a carcass, just a dead thing. Joseph of Arimathea put the body of Jesus in his own tomb, which was cut out like a cave from the limestone hills near Jerusalem. 3 days later, Jesus got up from the slab inside the tomb, and he walked out into the cool morning. The great stone that blocked the entrance was rolled away, and he walked out. Jesus rose from the dead, and today he is alive. Life, that changes everything. Life and death can never be the same again. Jesus has the power to save us. He is Lord, and he has the power to change our lives personally and be our Lord. When he met the disciples, what did he say? Behold my hands and my feet. Can't you see I've been crucified? Get me a doctor. Give me a painkiller. Fetch a nurse. Help me. No. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's alive forevermore. He's conquered death itself. Over a period of 40 days, he continued to meet with his disciples. So this was the moment. What did he say? Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This word authority, what does it mean? Well, authority means to be in control. It's a Greek word, exousia. Very different from the Greek word dynamis, which means ability to do. The resurrected Lord has all control in heaven and on earth. We hold elections and we do this and we do that, but Jesus is in charge. Not just at the second coming, but right now. He didn't say all authority will be given to me. He said all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me right now. That's important. Why? Because it's the basis of what follows. That's only the foundation. Now he builds something on it. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. If you see therefore in the Bible, always look and see what it is there for. Some got it. Because Jesus has all control. He's in charge. He's Lord. In heaven and on earth, he, on the basis of that, gives us this command. We call this the Great Commission. Now, what did he not do? He did not gather the disciples around and say, look, guys, gather around, make a huddle, come over. I've got an idea. It's the evangelization of the world, this world missions. Now, I know you've got priorities and you may not be able to work this into your agenda right away, but let's do what we can. I think it might work. No, this is not the great suggestion. This is the great commission. It is a command, and that means either we obey him or we do not. But what happened? This is interesting. Follow this. What happened? It is a matter of fact that not one single disciple among those standing there went into all nations. Not one single disciple. What is more, Jesus did not expect that. And he did not ask for that. For any one disciple to go into all nations was physically impossible. But according to church history, John went northwest and died near Ephesus in what is now Turkey. Peter went much further west and was eventually crucified upside down at Rome, Italy. Andrew went north to the Scythians in what is now the Ukraine, probably near the city of Kiev. That's what happened. One by one, they went out. Thomas went east to Iran. But then he went further east. He went on to India, first to northwest India, to the Indo-Parthian kingdom of King Gondophares. There's archaeological evidence that has come up about that. I'm not going to go into it. But then Thomas went southwest to the Malabar coast of Kerala in India, and then east to the Coromandel coast of southeast India, near Madras, Chennai, where he was killed with a spear in his back. So what we see is that what one disciple clearly could not do, together as a community, they actually started to do. They spread out in different directions to start the work. And when they died, they depended on following generations to continue the work, and that includes us. The commission is to the community, to the church of which all of us are members. The call of commission, the call of missions is to the whole church, the body of Christ, and if you're a member of that community, the church, it includes you. Now that, of course, means that we're not the whole body. You're not the whole body. I'm not the whole body. Of course not. But you and I cannot personally go into all the world. But we're called to be part of the effort. And it's only when we work as the body we can do it. Only then. Put the body aside and our dependency on each other as a community, and it becomes impossible. Come together, cooperate by prayer, giving and doing, and it is doable. We can do it. The word missionary means someone who is sent. That's the meaning of the word, a Latin verb, is to send. But who does the sending? Not just of Peter, John, and Andrew, but of all Christians to spread the word. Look at John 20, verse 21. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." But then in Acts 13, verse 2, as they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And the next verse says, "So after they," who's they? The church in Antioch, "had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them, and they sent them off." So who sent them? Well, Jesus did. And the Holy Spirit did. And the church in Antioch did. All of these did the sending. Missions is a glorious cooperation between Jesus and his people, empowered and led by the Holy Spirit. Today, you will be called upon to make a what we call a faith promise. I do it. We have done it in our local church, Fossil Creek, just down the road. You're doing it today here. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. I have experienced that. We are senders, not just goers, ourselves, Ragnar and I. We take part at both ends. And so we're supporting missionaries from our church. And sometimes it's a bit of a stretch. But God has always given us the means to do it. We've never been able to fail that, which for us is always the first Sunday of the month. That's how we do it. And it comes first, and what a joy it is to do it. It gives me a thrill every month to have that come around. And so we get an opportunity to invest in missionaries. Now, I wanted to change perspective. I'm going off notes here for a moment, Matt. But we sometimes think of an event like this as missionaries who come in and then they ask us for money, which we will promise to give over a period of time, and then they go out to do missions and we keep sending the money. I don't want you to think about that anymore. The church is going to be the mission sending agency, the body. They are simply our arms. The other missionaries in here are the arms God has provided for this church to do missions. It's not that they are missions and the church says, "Well done, go on, we'll applaud you from the sidelines." The body here in the church is going to do missions, is going to do sending, do praying, and some will go from this church. Some may be called, even in this morning, into missions here, among people here, short term or long term. Fine. Good. But we are also extending our arms, and the missionaries give us arms to do it. It's the work of the body. Look, I'm still departing from my notes a bit, but I want to share this very quickly with you. There was a time when we were missionaries in Slovakia, right after the Slovak flag right there, right after the call, after the collapse of communism. And the communist situation still prevailed in Central and Eastern Europe. And we went in and we met up with spiritual warfare. Never go lightly into spiritual warfare. War is ugly and people get hurt. We did. Last week, I was counseling for hours with a fellow missionary who has come out of a country I cannot name, who has suffered what I can only call PTSD as a result of spiritual warfare. He was faithful. He did not fail, but he paid a price in himself. And he will pay that for the rest of his life, in one way or another, emotionally and in the scars it has left on him, unless God does us an amazing miracle of healing. He can, but he may not. We were in a terrible situation where doors that were open closed and Christians were cooperating ceased to cooperate and opportunities we had went away and we prayed about it and it got worse. And it seemed that heaven was closed and God seemed not to exist and everything, it was awful, it was black, it was dark. We felt ourselves facing demonic opposition, spiritual. I can't describe it in normal human terms, but it's very real when you experience it. And so we prayed more. And it got worse. And it wasn't just me. It was my wife too. And both of us were together. And both of us felt it was awful. And the more we prayed, the worse it got. And it went on day after day and week after week. And in the end, I had to almost play mind games with myself to stay in there and hang in there 24 hours or 12 hours at a time. When would it ever end? And one day, it suddenly changed. Heaven was open. God was real. And then the doors opened again and people started to work together and opportunities reemerged and we were on a roll and nothing could stop us. And then the letter arrived from Dallas. Hal and Naomi Lehman, do you remember them? Old-time missionary hands from Africa, retired in Dallas, really old. And they said, Christopher Ragnar, what are you not telling us about? You're not telling us about this, anything in your newsletters. I didn't. I was ashamed. I felt people would think we were a failure as missionaries. And so I wouldn't tell anybody. We kept it to ourselves. It was a matter of personal shame, I felt, and honor. I was wrong in that. I should have shared it. I failed in that we should have shared it. But they said, we are praying for you. Every day we're praying, we're on our knees, and we feel such a burden of prayer. What's happening out there that you won't tell us about? That victory was won, but not in Bratislava, but in Dallas, Texas, by people who were retired and had very little money left. And no health and strength to be able to go and do the work any longer. But they prayed us through. And if God alerts you to pray for a mission when you're driving your car, just keep your eyes open and watch and pray. But do it right away. And if you have to close your eyes, then pull over on the side of the road, find a safe place and park. They may need it right then. If God wakes you up in the middle of the night and tells you to pray for a missionary, don't say, I'll do it in the morning. It may be too late. Do it right away. It's the day on the other side of the world. It's daylight when it's nighttime here. Pray, pray, pray. Become an intercessor for missions. Know what it is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And when the spirit of prayer falls upon you, yield to it and make yourself a vehicle of intercession. This is the sending body. This is where a mission starts and works from. This remains its base in prayer as well as giving. Well, that's a little discourse, by the way. It begs the question, how did the Christian church get from Jerusalem to Antioch in the first place? Acts 11:19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution, traveling as far as Antioch, telling the message only to Jews, verse 20. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. It was people who were Jewish believers from Cyrene and Cyprus who brought the gospel to Antioch, and the church in Antioch sent out Paul. So, but wait a moment. Where's Cyrene? Cyrene is in modern Libya, a bit to the east of the area controlled by ISIS, where not long ago a number of men had their throats slit on the beach. You may remember those images. And they were beheaded by ISIS. So we owe a debt to the first generation of believers from North Africa, of all places. North Africans brought the gospel to Antioch and sent out Paul. And we've got Paul in here and the Acts of the Apostles. We have a heritage that started in North Africa. Today, things have changed very much. For the first 500 years, though, after Christ, the Christians in North Africa played a leading role in the church. You think, where's the basis of the early church for the first 500 years? Jerusalem? No. Rome? No. North Africa. It was the powerhouse. During the first 2 centuries, many Christians were martyred for their faith. Famous among them were 7 men and 5 women known as the Cilician Martyrs from Carthage in modern Tunisia. We still have the court records of their trial. We actually know the very words they spoke. A little later in Carthage, 2 women, the aristocrat Perpetua and the slave Felicitas, walked into the arena hand in hand. What a defiance to the Roman authorities. Slave girl and aristocrat. And they died in the arena. How do we know about it? Because Perpetua kept a diary, a written record, and we still have a copy of that record today. We know. She said, I'm signing off tonight. Tomorrow I die. If anybody wants to record the rest, they can. And they did. During the reign of the mad Emperor Commodus, you remember the film Gladiator, the church in Rome needed a strong and courageous leader when the bishop died, and they asked a man from North Africa, from Leptis Magna, probably in Libya, to come as bishop of Rome. His name was Victor. Very appropriate. There were other great church leaders like Cyprian and that great defender of the faith, Tertullian, and the later great theologian, Augustine. His mother was a Berber from the mountains of North Africa. The name Monica is a Berber name, and the Berbers still live in North Africa. Later, in the 7th century, the Arabs invaded North Africa and imposed Islam on the people. From then on until now, North Africa has been one of the most difficult areas to reach with the gospel. But I have said I would share a new and amazing opportunity, and I would like to do it. In recent years, things have started to change in North Africa. God has been pouring out his spirit. Muslim people have been having dreams and visions of Jesus, starting to read the Bible. Having a Bible is illegal in some of those countries, but they still do it. Listening to gospel radio programs, watching television in their own languages from Christian satellite channels. Tens of thousands have accepted Christ. But it goes beyond that. I shared recently with someone I knew who had just come back, and I said, I understand that in this region, the 30,000 of the Berber people have accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. He says, where have you been? You can put another zero on that. Forget about 30,000. He said it's more like 300,000. And I picked up another document since then, and it said it might be as many as 500,000, but we can't count. God is doing amazing and wonderful things. There are more people finding Christ in Iran on a daily basis than almost anywhere else. Now, often in North Africa and elsewhere, they are accused. You are betraying your people, betraying your history, your culture, your religion. But now they are beginning to discover their true heritage, to understand that their ancestors were Christians, some of the greatest Christians who ever lived. For many years, Ragnar and I served as AGWM missionaries using media to reach and teach around the world. Now we're both aged 77, still active in ministry and officially retired, which means we're living in North Fort Worth, but still very active. And recently something happened. In the last 3 years, A group of missionaries and national believers have come together. These missionaries are from different missionary organizations, but most of them have worked in media. One of the groups involved is IMM, International Media Ministries, which is Assemblies of God World Missions, part of our fellowship. But together, they have created a kind of creative commons that will reawaken the story of the early church in North Africa on the internet, on websites, on video, on satellite. Already we've been told if you do this, it will be broadcast, for example, on Sat7, which has a footprint reaching the whole of Middle East and North Africa in Arabic 24/7 and has millions of eyes on screen, but not potential, real viewers every day. They have told us, others have told us, and put it on SD cards, it'll come in, it'll be copied, it'll be distributed everywhere. On every platform possible, and today there are many, from the small screen in your hand to the big screen in the cinema. Now part of this production is a series of half-hour videos on the lives of those early Christians in North Africa. It's being shot in 4K. Ultra high definition to last for a generation. Ragnar and I were asked to help. We said yes. We're not returning to the field. We're not asking for monthly support as we used to have. We're self-supporting. We have social security. It's enough. And we work from here, going over as needed. I've done the historical research, written the scripts, and translated reams of Latin. Ragnar has made many of the costumes. Last week, I came back from filming in Spain, where we had a film crew of 20 and a cast of 150 actors, professional actors, by the way. I'd like to for us to dim the lights, if we can, at this point, and I'd like to show you a short teaser from that. Okay, Matt, let's roll. 2,000 years ago, North Africa was part of the Roman Empire. The Roman legions stationed in Alexandria, as well as the legions in Spain, were always present in the minds of the people of Africa Proconsularis, as the Romans called it. There was trade and commerce by sea northward across the Mediterranean. Political power was in the hands of the emperor and the Senate in Rome. And generally, North Africa prospered and was at peace, and people were content to think of themselves as both African and Roman. This is the story of the first 5 centuries, when North Africa was the home of a vibrant Christian church, of thousands of ordinary men and women who trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. During the persecutions under the Romans, there were men and women alike who were prepared to die rather than renounce their faith in Christ. There were great church leaders in North Africa, Tertullian, the legal advocate and apologist, Augustine, the theologian, Victor, a Berber who became the Bishop of Rome, and Quadvalt Deus, who gave courage to the church at a time of persecution under the Vandals. But the church stood strong, as it had done for 400 years. This is their story. The people of North Africa need to hear it. This is the Heritage Project. Thank you. We'll go on with the next slide. That is just a little teaser. You saw a handful of actors and some of the sets, and you saw the size of some of the sets that we have, used to belong to Paramount Pictures. But anyway, that's another story. These stories, dramatized, docudramas, are going to go into these languages, Moroccan dialectical Arabic, because Arabic is not one language. There are many different versions of Arabic in different parts of North Africa and the Middle East. Tunisian dialectical Arabic, Rif Berber, spoken in the mountains, Tarfit, Middle Atlas Berber, Tamazit, French, English, Spanish, but it's going beyond North Africa and the Middle East. It's going to Russian, Farsi into Iran. We've had a new request just come in. Mandarin. For the whole of China. Yeah. This thing is going to go viral. It's going to spread around the world. I would have stood here a few weeks ago and promised you that it will reach millions of people. And then I would have said tens of millions. And today I feel I could go up higher than that. But I'm leaving that with the Lord. It's in His hands. God, this is not our project. This is not even IMM's project. This is bigger than any of us can handle. This is God's project. And I have to tell you that in order to shoot some of the battle scenes and other things that happened last week, it took the whole of the IMM crew plus another crew from another missionary organization down in the south, Malaga Media Center, plus people from Story Channel in France coming together to form one large film crew in order to be able to do the kind of work that we're doing. Even the music, my dear friend Tracy Collins, who writes for Discovery Channel and National Geographic, composing amazing music score for this thing. God is going to is creating something that's going to really make waves. Never mind about a blue wave or a red wave. This will be a wave from heaven. Amen. Okay. But I see a need for this far beyond North Africa. Today, persecution around the world against Christians is increasing. According to the Center, I want to wrap this up. According to the Center for the Study of Global Christianity at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in Massachusetts, each year for the past decade, each year, an average of 100,000 Christians around the world have been killed in what the Center calls a situation of witness. 100,000 a year. Every year. Separate research from the Vatican brings out almost identical numbers. It works out to 11 Christians killed somewhere in the world every hour, 7 days a week, round the clock, 365 days a year, for reasons related to their faith. The people in power who allow this to happen and who are responsible must surely sometimes themselves experience the struggle between natural justice and conscience on one side and the written law and political interest on the other. These stories will speak to them, and more important, it will stiffen the courage of Christians everywhere to stand firm for Christ and, if necessary, to die for Christ. That's the agenda. We have shot 7 stories. We have one more story to shoot, and no money left. It will cost about $60,000. I have requested Pastor Doug not to give me any gift or honorarium for speaking today, but to give it entirely for the production of the last remaining story. The story of Cyprian, the great Christian bishop and leader in Carthage, North Africa, who was beheaded for refusing to deny Christ and died on September the 14th in the year 258. His story, an amazing story of one of the greatest men who's ever walked this planet, will inspire and strengthen Christians today who are facing persecution. His story is part of our heritage. It's called the Heritage Project because what the Christians did in the first 500 years in North Africa is part of your heritage and mine. Our heritage today. You believe in the Holy Trinity, so do I. The word Trinity was actually coined in North Africa by Tertullian, reading the scriptures and saying there's no other explanation for this than Trinitas, three in one and one in three. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternally threefold. Not just becoming so at the incarnation, eternally so. And you talk about Jesus, divine, 100% God, 100% man, truly human, and yet truly God, and nothing less than God. God himself come to us. That was spelled out. I know Paul has it there. It's in the New Testament. But it was North Africans who spelled it out and put it in what we would call theology. And so we owe a debt. The first convoy of hope under Bishop Cyprian I talked about that reached out to in the midst of the terrible plague in the year, I think it was 252, that came through North Africa. And in Rome, 5,000 people a day were dying. In Alexandria, similar, and then hit Carthage. And he was there helping pagan people who had persecuted them and put them in prison. And when they got out during the plague, They ministered to those people when their own families pushed them out of the front door and locked the door because they were scared of the plague. And then, for his pains, they executed him. This great man, we're going to tell his story to. So what I want to combine is, first of all, boots on the ground, the missionaries who are here. That is the basic operation of this church. And that must continue to go on. Nothing must detract from that. This is another project. You may invest in it today, what you will. And then you'll have that opportunity to do it. On every table, I put down a little leaflet here. And I've only got one for every table, but if you can grab the one, then you've got it and share it around or whatever. But it'll spell out the details of this. So thank you very much. You are an Antioch. You are an Antioch. And you're going to rise to the occasion. And by God's grace in this year 2019, whatever it may hold in this country, whatever we may see politically, the church will go on. The church will survive. The church will stand. And the church will bring the world to Jesus until he comes, to whom it belongs. And to him be all the glory and the power. Amen.
I'd like for you to stand for just a moment. In a second, this will help you get to your wallet. No. Did I say that in my outside voice? Okay. As you stand to your feet, first of all, I want to pray. I'm going to have Brother Christopher Garnold Smith come and just pray over this congregation, just as a commissioning prayer. Some of us think, well, I can't go there, I can't do this, but you can go where you go, and you can be faithful to the Lord where you are at, and you can be his hand extended, and you can be our arm reaching out here from Vision Church. That's what it's about. It's about coming here to get sharpened, get focused, get community, get connected, so that we can go out there and be encouraged and go with the strength of the Lord wherever it is that we're going, wherever it is that you go. There's a great commission on your life. Not just me as a pastor, he as a missionary, Pastor Steve, Pastor, the people that we label Reverend Pastor, give credentials to. No. Every one of us in this, if we just get a hold of that this morning, and that we're commissioned right where we go. So right where you're at, just raise up a hand to the Lord. I'm going to have him come back and pray a prayer over us. Wherever it is we go, Lord, would you freshen that commitment and that commission and help me to connect to your heart for my school, my work, my place, my family, wherever it is. And would you pray over us, Doctor?
Our Heavenly Father, there are some things we cannot change. They are fixed. You are God. Christ is coming again. At the day of your choosing, you've already chosen it. The Great Commission, the need of the world, these things are realities beyond our control. And yet, Lord, you give us the dignity of free choice of speaking in quietly into our own hearts and minds and calling us to respond to you in different ways, perhaps by prayer, perhaps by giving. Giving on an organized and systematic basis, perhaps by getting up and going. We're members of each other. We can't do it on our own, and we can't do it without you. Lord, on this project, I couldn't have done this on my own. It's not mine, it's yours. I'm just one member of a very large team of extraordinarily talented people. Some of them I'm in awe of their gifts, artistic and technical. And I'm just part of it and honored to be so. And then there are so many who have given so generously around the world, and not just in this country, but in Holland and in France and in Britain and Canada and other countries. And today, Lord, we're part of this. And I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus to speak into the hearts and minds of every person here. Speak, O Lord. What do you want us to do? We're like Paul on the road to Damascus when he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And you were very specific about what he was to do. It wasn't a generalization at all. And I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will bear witness in the hearts of every individual. And perhaps husband and wife will be sitting at the same table and reach out and say, well, what did God say to you? And one will say, well, he said this much. And the other said, yeah, he said the same to me. Do you think we can do it? I think we have to. Lord, speak to us. When we ask you for that, we know we're asking for something that can be very uncomfortable. But God, we belong to you. You are our life. What are we without you? Speak to us, O Lord. Speak to us, O Lord. Thank you. In a still small voice, you have spoken. And now, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bless these people. In your name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, commission for service that starts in Lake Worth.
Yes.
Right at the doorstep of this church and before we even reach the door. And extends to the ends of the earth till Jesus calls or comes. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I just wanted you to stand and receive that this morning. We have some ushers that are going to come. And what we want to do here is this is an opportunity by check or by cash or by credit if you want to go to the Easy Tithe app. There'll be, say, Missions Project. You'll see that in the deal, Missions Project. And this is going to go towards the Heritage Project. Just remember that word project. If you want to note something on your check or everything that's going to come into the receptacles in this is going to go 100% from Vision Church with this man right here we just heard from, to get a story told in North Africa to reconnect them to their real history. Their real history. There's a lot of revisionism of history going on, not just in America. It's been going on globally, and we know who's behind that. But we're just so thankful we can make a difference in their history, and that will connect them to their roots and make the difference in all the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray over that offering, and then I have a few words of instruction for you, because then we'll be going dismissing table by table and getting some food. So let's pray over that offering and then pray over the food. And then I will give you some instruction. Lord, we just bow before you. Thank you for this opportunity we have to participate in a very special way in what you're wanting to do. Lord, we've been planning this and hoping towards this and thinking towards this. This is something that's in your calendar, our calendar, and we're thankful you're putting it in our heart. We just want to respond to you. We want to say yes and amen to make this possible, to reach around to the coast of North Africa and have a hand in making a difference in the eternity of people we'll never meet till we get around the tables in heaven. And we thank you for that, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for the food and the hands that provided and prepared it. We ask your blessing upon the food and the fellowship in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, as they're coming amongst you, how many of you can give in an offering and pay at least half attention at the same time? Okay. Some say, I pay half attention all the time. So I want to give an opportunity at this time to, first of all, I want to have them stand. I want to have the missions committee members stand. You know who they are. Shall I start naming names or will you just stand? There we go. Jeanette and Melinda and Karen Bentel right over here. Beth McCoy, yeah, Jennifer Lemon, my wife, Tasha Martin. They are responsible for everything that has gone right today as far as decor and everything around the tables. Would you give them a big hand? I want to give you ladies an opportunity to slip out and just make sure everything's ready. So if you could slip out into the foyer, I'm not going to have you locked down out there. I just wanted to make sure everything's ready to roll as we release tables to start coming and processing through. So you'll need a little instruction as far as how to proceed. When we're going to go table by table, and we have some people who have responsibilities, so we're going to dismiss up here first. We're going to go table by table. Process through, go around to the left, you pick up your plate. You already notice you already have plastic, silverware, goldware on your table, and a wonderfully folded napkin. Would you say thank you, Karen Bentle and Barry? He was pressed into service on that, and they paid attention to that, and they brought centerpieces. The different ladies on the committee brought centerpieces. Pick up a plate. Then you'll have a choice of amongst five different pastas. I'm asking the first pass through. This is not an eating contest today. I know you'd be shocked about that. So let's get everybody portion control the first time through, and then after everybody's been served, then there will be seconds and on, okay? So we have some selections, like there's lasagna. It's all pasta. Lasagna, chicken Alfredo, mac and cheese, and all the kids. And those that think they're still kids said, yeah. And spaghetti. There's also an option of meatballs. And then at the end of the table, there is a smaller selection of spaghetti. It's gluten-free. For those of you that have some gluten issues, Matthew and Jennifer Lemon thought about you, and there's some gluten-free spaghetti for you. It's right at the end in the crock pot at the end of the table. There is salad and bread, and then you'll process around. There's a dessert table with some cheesecake, individual cheese collections, with a nice sign suggesting how many you should limit those to. And then on around, and you have a choice of sweet tea, unsweet tea, bottled cold water, as well as hot coffee. Okay? And you just proceed around back to your table. We're going to enjoy fellowship and food, and it's going to be punctuated with some other presentations. So everybody hang in here with us. We're building towards a faith promise, and it's going to be a great day, and we're going to have a great time of food and fellowship right now. And so we're going to start with this table. How many of you can remember how I tell you to go? Okay? So we're going to go with this table and this table, and then this table, and then that table. That'll help us with people not mixing right in the middle. So see how we alternate? This table, then that table, and then this table, and that table, and then that table, and that table, and so on and so forth back, okay? And there's plenty of food. It's all going to be top quality, no matter how long it takes for you to get to be served. And then just be aware, you're going to be served, everybody's going to be in here eating, and then we're going to do some things that you're just going to be able to look up from where you're eating and listen. So this would be a great time, possibly, to get up and turn your chair around, huh? While this first table goes. Amen. Thank you for your attention. And Pastor Matt, you have a little bit of light music maybe to play underneath? That's great.